Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, July the 8th, the Patriarchate of Jerusalem condemns an Israeli strike on a Catholic school compound in Gaza and demands the protection of civilians. Russian airstrikes hit a children's hospital in the Ukrainian capital. And the climate crisis brings destruction to Indian states, where the latest storms batter the capital, Mumbai. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. The Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem has strongly condemned a raid launched by Israeli forces against its Holy Family School in Gaza City on Sunday morning. The strike reportedly killed at least four people, including a senior Hamas administration official. The Israeli army claims that the complex was used as a militant hideout and housed a Hamas weapons manufacturing facility. Lisa Zingarini reports.
The raid on the Holy Family Catholic School, owned by the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, came only hours after Israeli forces attacked a UN-run school Saturday, killing at least 16 people and injuring 75 sheltered there, including two UNRWA workers. The incident provoked the outrage of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees at the repeated attacks on its facilities. In a statement released on Sunday, the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem also condemned in the strongest terms the targeting of non-combatants or any belligerent actions that fall short of ensuring that civilians remain outside the combat scene. It said it continues to pray and hope that the parties will reach an agreement that would put an immediate end to the horrifying bloodbath and humanitarian catastrophe in the region. Since the beginning of the war on October the 7th, thousands of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have sought shelter in hospitals, schools and other civilian infrastructure. However, Israel accuses Hamas and other militants of hiding in these places. The compound of the Holy Family Catholic Parish in Gaza, sheltering some 600 displaced Christians, is not new to attacks by Israeli forces in their fight against a terrorist organization. In December last year, an Israeli sniper killed two Christian women inside the compound. Pope Francis and the Holy See have repeatedly urged for the effective protection of civilians in the conflict. At an open debate of the Security Council in May, the permanent mission of the Holy See lamented that civilian infrastructure, including schools, hospitals and places of worship, have become devastating targets, disproportionately affecting the lives of the innocent and defenseless. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And according to a recent report published in the journal Lancet, the accumulative effects of Israel's war on Gaza could mean the true death toll could reach more than 186,000 people. That represents almost 8% of Gaza's pre-war population of 2.3 million. The study points out that the death toll is higher because the official toll does not take into account thousands of dead buried under the rubble and indirect deaths due to destruction of health facilities, food distribution systems and other public infrastructure. Conflicts, the study says, have indirect health implications beyond the direct harm from violence. And even if the Gaza war should end immediately, it will continue to cause many indirect deaths in the coming months and years through things like diseases. Ukrainian officials said Russia launched dozens of missiles at cities across Ukraine on Monday in an attack that killed at least 29 people and smashed into a children's hospital in the capital, Kiev. The rare daytime Russian barrage comes as President Volodymyr Zelensky was due in Warsaw before he flew to a summit of the NATO military summit in Washington. Stefan Boss reports.
Ukrainians here in Kiev are desperately looking for survivors after authorities said Russia hit this children's hospital with a brazen daylight hypersonic missile attack on the Ukrainian capital. The Ogmadi Children's Hospital in the Lukyanivska area has blown out windows and smoke rises from them. Inside, glass litters the hospital floors. There are scattered baby cots and droplets of blood. Children are still thought to be here somewhere. People digging through mounds of rubble and medical stuff, wearing blood-stained scrubs, search for them as black smoke billows over a gutted building. The hospital is being evacuated, with patients moved elsewhere in the city. Parents holding babies have been seen walking in the street outside, dazed and sobbing, after the rare daylight aerial attack. Kiev was just one city targeted in the early morning Russian missile salvo that officials say killed dozens of people and injured scores more. The mayor said it was one of the worst attacks on the Ukrainian capital in more than 2 years of war. Five cities were struck: Kiev, Dnipro, Kryvyi Rih, Slovyansk and Kramatorsk. Yet Moscow has denied it deliberately targets civilian sites, despite mounting evidence suggesting otherwise. The Russian Defense Ministry said its forces had carried out strikes on defense industry targets and aviation bases in Ukraine. Don't tell that to the parents with wounded babies or mourning those they lost. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bloss, reporting.
Leaders of the military regimes in Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger have proclaimed a confederation of three Sahel states. As Nathan Morley reports, the move by the three nations ruled by military juntas reportedly aims to strengthen the battle against terrorism in the region.
At their first conference since taking power in military coups, the trio adopted a joint statement for a treaty to set up the alliance. From now on, the new grouping is expected to collaborate on security concerns and form closer economic bonds, including eventually aiming to create a common currency. The three nations, together boasting a combined population of over 70 million, are affected by insecurity caused by violent militant factions. Speaking from the Nigerian capital, where the conference took place over the weekend, Captain Ibrahim Traoré, the leader of Burkina Faso, said the summit marked a decisive step for the future of our common space. He added that together they would consolidate the foundations of true independence, guarantee peace and sustainable development through the creation of the Alliance of Sahel States Confederation. The move also appears to indicate their departure from the Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS, which the three leaders repeatedly implied they would leave. A withdrawal might hamper security cooperation, specifically in terms of intelligence gathering and participation in the battle against terrorism. Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger are hostile towards France, their former colonial master, and currently endure frosty relations with many Western countries. Recently, they've sought friendlier ties with Turkey, Russia and Iran. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
France's left-wing leader Jean-Luc Mélenchon says the left is ready to govern after emerging as the largest political bloc in parliament after Sunday's parliamentary election. However, the country faces a political deadlock as no party won a clear majority. Mélenchon's new Popular Front coalition took 187 seats in the 577-seat National Assembly, delivering a blow to President Macron, whose centrist Ensemble alliance managed to win 159 seats. Marine Le Pen's far-right National Rally and its allies surprisingly finished third with 142 seats despite a strong first-round showing. Heavy floods and rains have engulfed the roads and railway lines in India's financial capital, Mumbai, disrupting flights and forcing the closure of schools and colleges. Joseph Tallick reports.
Just ahead of Monday morning rush hour, more than 30 centimetres of rain lashed Mumbai, a city of 12 million people and India's financial capital. With heavy rain forecast in coming days, the situation could deteriorate even further, officials have said. Commuters in Mumbai this morning were forced to wade through knee-deep water that partially submerged vehicles in many areas. Television images showed some suburban passenger trains halted, with some commuters walking on tracks, to reach their destination. India's seasonal monsoon rains, which start at the end of May, bring a respite after a scorching summer, but have also triggered widespread flooding in recent years. More than 2 million people have been affected by rivers flooding in the northeastern Assam state, where the Kaziranga National Park, home to the rare one-horned rhinoceros, was inundated. 6 of those animals drowned, authorities said on Sunday. The crisis is not limited to India. Both neighbouring Bangladesh and Nepal have seen torrential downpours in recent months. In his landmark 2015 encyclical Laudato Si on care for the common home, Pope Francis warned that the impact of natural disasters like flooding would be felt most strongly by developing nations, a category that includes India. Many of the poor, the Pope wrote, live in areas particularly affected by phenomena related to warming, and their means of subsistence are largely dependent on natural reserves and ecosystemic services such as agriculture, fishing, and forestry. They have no other financial activities or resources, the Pope continued, which can enable them to adapt to climate change or to face natural disasters, and their access to social services and protection is very limited. Sadly, the Pope concluded, there is a widespread indifference to such suffering, which is even now taking place throughout our world. A lack of response to these tragedies involving our brothers and sisters points to the loss of that sense of responsibility for our fellow men and women upon which all of civil society is founded. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Storms and flooding are one side of the medal of climate change, as intense heat waves and drought on the other also wreak havoc and cause death in other parts of the world. The UN World Meteorological Organization warns that heat waves like the ones that blasted the US Midwest and the one that killed over 1,000 Hajj pilgrims in Saudi Arabia are likely to be increasingly common. Speaking to UN News, climate scientist Alvaro Silva also pointed to the increase of dangerous pollutants during periods of intense heat.
Well, it's not unprecedented, but is getting increasingly likely this type of conditions in a warmer world due to human-induced climate change. This type of conditions are getting more frequent and more intense. And in this specific region in the United States, this was due to an area of high pressure that stayed in the upper atmosphere over the U.S. Midwest and Northeast. We have exceptionally high temperatures in the Middle East. In fact, the subtropical northern hemisphere regions are also exceptionally warm. And in fact, all the Middle East is suffering from these extreme warm conditions. For instance, in Kuwait, with maximum temperatures above 50 degrees Celsius. So this is scorching heat that no one is ready to support, especially outside, but also inside the buildings. It's important to keep cool and hydrated because also the minimum temperatures during the night are very high. So in these conditions, during several days, also the buildings, the houses get exceptionally warm, and even inside the buildings, people are not safe from the heat. We see that human-induced climate change, the heat waves are much more intense. And sometimes we also see these heat waves out of the season where we usually expect them to happen. So this is some changes that we need to be aware of.
And that was WMO climate scientist Alvaro Silva speaking there to UN News. That's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. For more, you can follow us tomorrow at the same time and visit our Facebook, X, Instagram and web page. Thanks to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.